I grew up in a very complicated family. My father was a womanizer and an alcoholic. He will even ask me to call his mistress mommy or I will be Spanish. Whenever he was drunk, he always find a way to bully me, even shouted at me while I was sleeping just because he was looking for something he can't find. Because of this abuse, I nearly shot my father while he was sleeping. But I didn't have the courage to pull the trigger. My mother was a career woman. She loves me and my sister. She's not selfish, and she gave us everything we needed. She's very proud, though. She is beautiful and very well-educated. This is the reason why she and my father got separated easily. I was like a ping pong, going to our grandparents' house and going to our house when they fix their issues already. Since I was left with cousins older than me and my grandmother to watch over us, I was molested by my cousin. Until now, my parents never knew this because I was afraid before and embarrassed. Even though my sister and I grow up under one roof together because we have to choose one parent every time they want to split up, we managed to touch bases with each other. My sister was my savior that time when everything seems to fall apart in our family. My childhood was not good. I grew up believing that lying will be the right way to do things since it was my own father who taught me how to lie perfectly. How to tell that it was black when it was really white. Worst part of lying is when you believe that it is the truth. Then lying comes up to me. Can't even distinguish between my own lie and truth. Nobody believes me anymore. Worse is that I am living in my own fantasy, that it came to the point that I didn't know which is true anymore. I became an alcoholic, and it was my father who taught me how to drink. I had my first girl-to-girl relationship when I was in college. She was a supermodel that time, but she fell in love with a man, and I was heartbroken to the point that I wasn't able to eat, sleep, and I had to seek help for my depression. Then I decided to try having a relationship with a man. I was part of a religious sect by birth, so I got a boyfriend that is belonged to the same religion. I thought, this is it. I will settle down with this guy. But his family was rich that time, and they thought I only want their money. I felt belittled, and I ended the relationship saying that I will be rich one day and it will be their loss, not mine. Then Omar came. He was so perfect that he could promise you the moon and the sun. It took him at least 3 years to court me because he was a Muslim and already has a wife. But I am a hopeless romantic when it comes to love. He actually was able to change almost everything about me. I took care of him. Then our son Harold came. 1 year after Harold was born, I was not happy with him and decided to split up. It was July of 2007 when I entered into a construction business. Even if I never had any experience, no know-how about construction. Little did I know, it was God who wants to put me there. My clients were a couple who were CCF members, and they invited me to attend CCF. They were Mr. and Mrs. Alex Ching. For me, to be a Christian that time was impossible. My father will disown me since he is very well known in our religion. So I just went to CCF in secret and attended to my former religion at the same time, serving two masters as what they called it. Then I told my dad, I don't want to be a part of that religion anymore, and I want to be a Christian. He didn't talk to me for a long time. He took my car so I will have nothing else to use. But God provided a car for me miraculously that day. Honestly, I felt peace and contented that time. My construction business went well, and I never worry about money. Then I met Beth. I fell in love with her and her two kids. We built a family. I even built a house perfectly for us. I thought we can live like husband and wife forever. Another lie that I thought was true was that I believed that I am a real man. I thought everything was okay with my relationship with God. I told myself I was not a womanizer anymore. I am good to others. I go to church regularly. I only have secret sins, which I thought were very minor. It's my love for Beth and the two kids, and my constant growing addiction to pornography. Later on, as I was part of the volunteer team with the government, our boss, Ambassador Lima, introduced me to a Bible study for the first time. Then I started liking it. Little did I know, the devil was working overtime to turn me again to my simple ways. As a matter of fact, I started going to club, surrounding myself with many women. I told myself, I'm already saved. I just have to say sorry every time I commit sin, and I'm okay. But as my hunger for the word of God got deeper, the devil did the unthinkable. My son became one of the Dembaksha victims. I was worried and stressed. I really don't know what to do. His platelet count was never normal. He was homeschooled from December up to July this year. I could see in our doctor's eyes that she was also worried because we did everything and yet his platelets were never normal. Thankfully, because I have my Bible study group with Ambassador Liva, even at 4 o'clock in the morning, they were very supportive. Then I realized that I only have to trust the Lord, even if it is impossible to do, and hold on to His promise, even if I don't understand. There are days that his nose would bleed, and I have to run far from my son so he could not see me cry. After crying, I pray to God to heal my son. I was very decided to sue the doctor and medical city for injecting the vaccine to my son. But because of Joy Tanchi's testimony, my son told me, "How can God heal me, Mommy, if I can't even forgive my doctor?" I was happy because I know I brought my son to God. Just to share, our doctor, Doctora Mia Medina, asked my son, "If you were to turn back time, what will you do?" He told us, "Nothing, because without this, me and my mom will never be closer to God as what we are now." Me and Doctora Medina experienced God's miracle when we started the Bible study in her clinic together with other patients. From 63,000, his platelet went 180 in just 6 days, considering he has fever that week. We continued our Bible study and we are blessed that more and more are coming. We are 35 and counting. I'm praying that God will give us a bigger venue so that the doctor beside us will not ask to stop the Bible study. Beth and I now treat each other as sister, and the kids are like my pamangkins. We are still family, but acceptable to Jesus. Furthermore, I learned about genuine faith and obedience, and the blessing that comes with submitting to God's authority and commands. Now I know I am a woman, and I'm waiting for God's purpose on me. To God be the glory. Thank you.
We are going to start a new series. While it is not exactly new, it's part of the Sermon of the Mount. The greatest sermon ever preached is called the Sermon of the Mount. Jesus began with telling us how to be happy, the secret of happiness. Remember the 8 secrets? What's secret number 1? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Be willing to humble yourselves. Confess your need before God. Blessed are those who mourn. Be willing to repent of your sin. Blessed are the meek. Be willing to surrender your will to God's will. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness. Pursue the right thing. So these are 8 secrets. And then we ended before the anniversary with salt and light. Today we continue that series on what does it mean to be a true follower of Jesus. Now, my topic today has to do with counterfeit versus genuine stuff. How many of you have ever been deceived by buying something that is not genuine? You bought something that is fake. Raise your hands. Let me tell you something. 70% of all counterfeit stuff is now bought over the internet. I saw this sign. It's amazing. It's called, look at this sign. It's called Genuine Fake Watches. Genuine Fake Watches. It's a big industry. It's over $1 trillion, the counterfeit industry. Let me ask you a question. What do the following have in common? Gucci, Nike, Rolex. They are expensive. They are branded items. Yes or no? But they are the most copied, the most counterfeited brand names. So you have Gucci, Nike, Rolex. Can you guess what country they are made from? Okay, you know, majority is from China. But the most counterfeited people, the most counterfeited stuff, I don't know how to call it, is what? Guess. It's called Christian. Christians are most counterfeited. What do I mean? Look at the heart of Jesus, all right? We will begin our series today, part two of the Sermon of the Mount. Let's read this together. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. I'm going to read the verses first, then I will explain. Ready? Go. Do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is this message so important? Because there are certain people who think they are going to heaven and they are not. What do we mean? The context of Matthew chapter 5, the whole thing is talking about genuine righteousness, genuine follower of Jesus, characteristics of true Christians. Why do I say that? Look at the end of the Sermon of the Mount. In chapter 7 of the Sermon of the Mount, everybody stand up. I want you to stand up. I want you to read the last few verses so that you will know this is serious. Everybody, together now. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Notice, Jesus must have shook his audience. They were shaken because Jesus tells them, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because there are many people who think they are Christians. Because when they pray, they say, Lord Jesus. But Jesus says, a true follower of Jesus is simply one who follows him. Let's read together. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So question, are you doing the will of God or not in your life? That is the big picture. And notice the next phrase, together. Many, meaning many, mucho, hantuoron, many, marame, will say to me on that day, on judgment day, everybody read, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Grammatically, what Jesus was saying is this. I will tell them, I never knew you. What does that mean? Grammatically, it means we had no relationship ever since. I never knew you. He's not talking about losing your salvation. He said, you never had salvation in the first place. We never had any relationship. You never had a real encounter with me. I never knew you. This is the great shock of everybody's life. Someday, my job is to prepare you to make sure you are not counterfeit, because look at this verse. I will say, I never knew you. Everybody read. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. Huh. Can a so-called Christian come to church every Sunday, but privately, he or she practices lawlessness? Definitely. Look at our sharer. Her name was Jackie. She said, in my mind, it's okay to sin. Anyway, I'm saved. I'm saved already, and I will just confess. God knows. Has that ever entered your mind? That since you are saved already, it's okay to live the way you want to live? Anyway, God understands. Is that possible? My friend, let me share with you what the Bible has to say, especially the Apostle Paul. Everybody read this together. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Notice the grammar. Test yourselves. You are not to test others. This morning, you are not to judge others. I'm not asking you to say, fake, ito tunay. No, no. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test? Do you know this? You are to test yourself, not test others. Examine yourselves. So my question to you is this. How are you doing? Are you genuine follower of Jesus or not? Only you will know. Look at another warning from the brother of Jesus. He wrote the book of Jude. Look at what he said. Please read. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. In other words, imagine coming to CCF. It's possible. With a crowd this size, with our size, they crept in, they join your small group, and notice, everybody read, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you turn the grace of God into license. Do you know there are two extremes in the Christian life? One is legalism. I got to do this, I got to do that in order to go to heaven. And the other one is licentiousness. I'm saved already. So grace has become a license to commit sin. And these are all wrong teachings. That's why this sermon is very close to my heart. And most churches will not preach this, because this sermon is not popular. It will make you uncomfortable. But my job is to tell you the truth. Salvation is by grace. You cannot earn it. It's all because of Jesus. By grace. But grace is never alone. It will impact your heart. It will change your life. On the other hand, legalism is so popular today. I was witnessing to somebody yesterday. Jim, you saw me in the golf course. I was witnessing to somebody, and this person told me, I was asking this person, how is your journey spiritually? Are you sure you'll go to heaven? You know what the person told me? Very hard, because I belong to a religious group that if I'm absent one Sunday, they visit me. If I'm absent on a weekday, they visit me. And I cannot keep up to the religious standard. And she was very sad. I said, you know what? God loves you very much. Because we are together today, I said. I'm going to tell you, God loves you so much because He wants you to hear what I'm going to tell you. I said, Jesus loves you. And it is not about performance. It's about a relationship with Jesus. You got to know the ABC of salvation. Would you like to know what I told this person, ABC? Yes or no? Oh, I will tell you later, okay? Notice the warning. Making the grace of God license to sin. Everybody, let's read this together. Do you not know that the unrighteous, notice again, unrighteous versus righteousness, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. In other words, hey guys, listen to me. Don't deceive yourselves. Neither fornicators, singles having sex with singles. Adulterers are having sex with somebody, not your husband, not your wife. Why is this so crucial? Because a mother from CCF asked her son, who is not from CCF, going to another church. The mother asked, son, do you have sex with your girlfriend? And the son says, yeah. What about the current girlfriend, the one that goes to church with you? And the son says, mother, what's wrong with having sex? She's a Christian. I'm a Christian. I love her. What's wrong? Can you imagine what's going on to young people's mind today? Totally ignorant of the Word of God. In the name of love, we think we can do everything. Look at this verse. Together, please. Do not be deceived. In other words, in Tagalog, huwag mo loko yung sarili mo. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor homosexuals. Be careful now. We are not picking on homosexuals. The Bible is talking about all the categories of sin. Thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor swindlers. You know who you are. Who are thieves? Who are swindlers? You borrow money and you don't pay back. Is that possible? That's swindlers. We have people going from one D group to another D group. They borrow money. They tell sad story. In fact, we have one CCF satellite. That guy has swindled over 500,000 pesos by telling amazing stories. So I'm telling you right now, when people join your D group, when people approach you every Sunday and they ask for money, I'm not saying they are swindlers, but I'm saying be careful. Because people will tell you sad stories. And those of you who are doing this, I'm warning you. Don't make fun of the grace of God in your life. You know why? The Bible is very clear. Continue reading, everybody. Let's read this together. Nor revilers, nor swindlers, everybody read, will inherit, again, the kingdom of God. Notice, the Bible is very clear. Be genuine, follower of Jesus, not counterfeit. Such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Praise God. The Bible said, but such were some of you. Once upon a time, you were like this, but now you are transformed. You see, the church in Corinth is very sensual, very immoral. In Corinth today, if you visit, you will see the old temple. It's called the temple prostitutes. There are many temple prostitutes. It's very immoral. Paul is saying to these Christians, now that you belong to Jesus, such were some of you. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. In other words, whatever is your past, I have good news for you. The Lord Jesus can change you. Amen? Praise God. Look at this girl. Her name was Jackie. She told us her story. She has lots of money. She goes to nightclubs where women will just approach her. She said her life was full of immorality. But praise God, God used her son to ask her to approach us, for us to pray for her. And when we were praying for her, when I was praying for her, I asked her one straight question. I said, "What is your secret sin?" She got the shock of her life. Secret sin. And she began to cry. And that girl was never the same. The Lord touched her heart. She's transformed. Do you know this? She's now teaching Bible. Because the Bible says, such were some of you. Do you believe in the grace of God to change lives? Yes or no? A gospel that cannot change lives is not a true gospel. A Savior that cannot transform your life is not the true gospel. So my friend, the message today is very simple. Please, say it with me. Be a genuine Christ follower. Don't be a counterfeit. Why? When you buy a fake Rolex watch, the worst that can happen to you is you lose your money. At least, fake the money. But if you become a fake counterfeit follower of Jesus, the consequences is unimaginable. And I pray that you examine yourselves today. What does it mean? Let me now explain. Do not think I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus wanted the disciples to understand who is a true follower. So offhand, he tells them already, do not have this wrong idea that I came to abolish the law, the Ten Commandments, the moral laws, or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. The word fulfill is a beautiful word. It does not just mean to fulfill prophecy, because the Old Testament has prophecy. But it is also saying, I came to comply with all the legal requirements, and more than that, so that you will understand, I came to explain, to interpret for you what the law is. What does it really mean to follow God? That's what Jesus is saying. And he repeats another way. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, everybody read, unless heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. He's saying the word of God, the Old Testament, the law and the prophets are not temporal. It is applicable until the end of times, because it's given by a perfect God, and he gives the law perfectly. You don't need to improve on it. I'm not here to contradict it. Not the smallest letter. What is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet? It's the word yod. It's the smallest letter. Jesus is a master teacher. He said, not a comma, not a yod, will pass away until all is fulfilled. Because the entire Old Testament points to Jesus. The ceremonial law, the moral law, would you believe it? Let me give you an example. According to Jesus, he is the fulfillment. What does it mean? Everybody, please read. He said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. You know what Jesus is saying? Everything in the Old Testament is going to be fulfilled. And you will not understand the Old Testament until you connect it with Jesus. Let me give you an example. Sacrifice of animals. In the Old Testament, you have the entire book of Exodus. After explaining the Passover, you have the entire book of Exodus talking about the tabernacle, talking about animal sacrifices. You have the book of Leviticus talking about animal offerings. What in the world does that mean? Very simple. The animal sacrifices, the animal offerings is a picture of what the coming Lamb of God, the coming Messiah will do for us. He will die for us, shed His blood so that we can have forgiveness. So you will not understand the Old Testament clearly until you connect it to the New Testament, which is found in Jesus Christ. Example, the tabernacle. You have no idea what in the world is the temple, the tabernacle. You know why? You got to connect it with Jesus. In the tabernacle, there's only one entrance. You know why? Jesus said, I am the door. In the tabernacle, the first piece of furniture is the altar. It points to Jesus. You cannot enter the presence of God without sacrifice. So you have the altar. And once you enter another room, you have candlelight. What in the world is a candlelight doing? Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You need Jesus to have your eyes open to see the truth. And then when you enter that room, you have the bread. What in the world are the bread doing there? Show bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In other words, if you don't connect things to Jesus, the Old Testament is an irrelevant book. Actually, it's the most relevant. Are we communicating? So Jesus is saying, everything is going to be fulfilled. He fulfilled everything. Even the requirements of the law, so that you and I will understand it's about Jesus. And then, look at what he said. Please read. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying the Old Testament, the principles are to be taught and to be applied. Now, many people don't know how to do it. Salvation based on the Old Testament through legalism is already explained. It is not through the law that you go to heaven. It is not by obeying the law you go to heaven. You are saved, therefore you obey. Let me repeat. It sounds simple, but think about it. We do not teach that you have to obey the law in order to go to heaven. That's legalism. What do we teach? Grace. What is grace? You are saved in order to obey the law. Are we clear? Saved in order to obey the law. So, the Apostle Paul teaches the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. So, the New Testament does not throw away the law. In fact, we are saved to obey the law. Are we clear? But you don't obey the law in order to be saved. That's legalism. He continues. If you are really under grace, the Apostle Paul says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Because some people have this mindset. The Apostle Paul knew what the people were thinking. Are we going to continue in sin so that grace might increase? Look at the answer. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So I teach the law. I obey the moral law of God. The ceremonial law of the Old Testament is all pointing to Jesus. And it has been explained in the New Testament. So people ask me, what about eating pork, eating shrimp, Those are dietary principles given by God to the Jewish people. Those are what you call the law that pertains to the Jewish people. And then the New Testament explained it. You are not made holy because of diet. You should eat properly because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So people ask me, can I eat lechon? Oh, what's your answer? No problem, because Jesus explained this. You see, the whole Bible is one integrated book. But the moral laws of God has never been amended or changed, because all of the other laws pointed to Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled them so that you'll understand how to live the Christian life. So the Bible tells us, sin shall not be master over you. Everybody read, you are not under law, but under grace. But grace does not mean you become lawless. Ah, that's what Jesus meant. I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What in the world is he talking about? Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. Do you know the word surpasses? You know what it means? It's describing a river that's overflowing. He's saying your righteousness must be much higher than the righteousness of the Pharisees. What is he talking about? Let me now explain to you. The righteousness of the Pharisees are superficial, external, and there are so many of them. They invented, added 625 commandments. How many commandments did Moses give? How many? 10. The Pharisees, they added 600 plus to explain it, to elaborate. And then that's not enough. They wrote a commentary of the Bible, of the Old Testament. It's called a Talmud. Oh my goodness. Thousands of rules, thousands of pages. Let me give you an example. On Sabbath day, how do you observe the Sabbath day? According to the Old Testament, the wisdom of God, 6 days you are to work, on the seventh day you are to rest. Look at the commandment, very simple. 6 days you are to work, 7 days you are to rest. Now, what did the rabbis, what did the Jewish people do? In their desire to observe the meaning of the word rest, they came up with thousands of rules. Example, on Sabbath day, you cannot carry more than one egg. Example, because the egg can be worked, it's too heavy. You cannot light a fire. However, if you have an old fire, it's okay, but you cannot light a new fire. Today, if you go to Israel, you will meet Orthodox Jews, and they practice all of these complicated legal requirements. You cannot press the elevator, because pressing the elevator is work. Why? Because that's electricity. When you press electric current, that's fire. I mean, it's so complicated. So I advise you, when you go with me next year to the Holy Land, never take the Sabbath elevator. The Sabbath elevator are for Orthodox Jews. So when you are on the 20th floor, you ride the elevator, you just stay there. The elevator will automatically open. Every floor. One floor. First. Second floor. Kawawa kang bata. If you are on the 20th floor and you go that elevator, I think you will suffer. However, for me, I am under grace. I enter this Gentile elevator and I press 20. I am not working. Understand? In other words, the Jews came up with so many rules. And Jesus is saying, I am not talking about those shallow rules. For example, according to Jesus, look at how he described the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. Because the Pharisees, holiness, righteousness, in Tagalog, it's called pangpakitang tao. And there are many so-called Christians, they want to show to the world how righteous they are. It's all for show. And God is saying righteousness is with the heart. You must begin with the heart. It's about you and the Lord. It's not for show. You know what is whitewashed tomb? Here, picture whitewashed tomb. It's so nice. On the outside, it's very nice. But inside, Jesus said, dead man's bones. And he repeats in the next verse, you two outwardly appear righteous. You guys appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. For example, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, after this verse, look at how he explained this. He tells the people, external righteousness, you shall not murder. Jesus now says, but I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother commits murder. Jesus says, you shall not commit adultery. Yes, but let me now interpret for you the whole purpose and the meaning. I say to you, if you look at a woman with lust already, you have committed adultery. This now covers pornography. You see, friends, the holiness and righteousness of God is much higher than the Pharisees. The Pharisees are all external. Let me give an example before I jump. You shall not commit murder. Agree. But then, what about your heart? Let me give you an example. The law says you cannot kill. Yes? The law says when you are driving in the highway, you cannot go over 100 kilometers per hour. Yes? That's the law. What did Christ say? Let me give you an example. If you have Christ in your heart. When I'm driving and I see my enemy having a flat tire, what does the law says? I should not drive over my enemy, right? I should not drive and kill him. So I avoid him. That's what the law says. Thou shalt not murder. But the law can never tell me I must stop and help him fix his tire. Jesus says, look at this verse. The law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus says, no. Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Look at the standards of God. Jesus is saying, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Once you understand true righteousness, what will it do to you? A genuine follower of Jesus will now admit, I can never enter heaven by my own effort. A genuine follower of Jesus will begin to realize he is a sinner. You see, there's a big difference, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about sin and mistake. Today, people don't want to use the word sin because sin is a violation against the will of God. We like to use the word mistake. How do you define mistake? According to Webster Dictionary, mistake is what? Error in calculation, error in judgment, error in choices. We like to say it's a mistake. We don't want to say, I have sinned. If people commit adultery, what do they say? It's a mistake. Excuse me, you commit adultery and you don't call it sin. So they say mistake. What mistake? You entered the wrong room? What mistake? We don't want the word sin. We want the word mistake. Let me tell you why. Because when you use the word mistake, your conscience does not have to bother you. Mistake. You can make better judgment. But the moment you say, I have sinned, what are you saying? I have violated the commandments of God. I have sinned. I am a sinner. A genuine follower of Jesus knows the standards of God. And he admits, I'm not just a sinner. I am a big sinner. Therefore, I need a Savior. A mistaker is different from a sinner. A mistaker does not need a Savior. A sinner like me, I need a Savior. Listen, a genuine follower of Jesus is not about perfection. So don't get me wrong. But it's about the GPS of the heart. You want to please God. You want to follow God because you have already admitted you are a sinner and now you need a Savior. That's exactly what the Bible says. A genuine follower of Jesus admits, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and that's what the Bible says. Let's read this together. Because by the works of the law, the moral standards of God, which is very high, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. A genuine follower of Jesus will admit he's a sinner. Continue reading. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. Do you understand? It will now lead you to Christ. Because a genuine follower of Jesus knows, I'm a sinner. The standards are so high, I cannot make it. And now I need a Savior. And because Christ is now your Savior, He now gives you the motivation. You don't lower the standards, but you increase your motivation now and the power of the Holy Spirit to help you live up to that standard. You see the difference? You don't change the law of God just because we cannot comply with the law of God. You don't try to adjust the Bible to change the Word of God to accommodate human weaknesses. You need a Savior to help you to be empowered. That's why the Bible tells us, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The Bible says you need a supernatural kind of righteousness, which can only come from Jesus. The Bible says Jesus obeyed all the commandments. He obeyed all the laws. He obeyed whatever is required in the Old Testament, so that you and I can become truly righteous. And that, my friend, is the meaning of a genuine follower of Jesus. You do not abuse the grace of God. Let's read this together. You were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You see the difference? The Bible says, now that you are free, not to disobey the law, you are free from the way the Old Testament legal method of I got to do this, I got to do that in order to go to heaven. You are now free from the bondage of the law in order for you to be accepted by God. It is no longer based on performance. It is now based on Jesus. Amen? Did Jesus Christ die on the cross for all of your sins? Louder.
Yes.
Do you believe He loves you?
Yes.
Do you believe He died for all of your sins?
Yes.
Past, present, future. Louder.
Yes.
Many people have a hard time understanding the grace of God. When Jesus died on the cross, you were not yet born. So all of your sins, all of my sins were future tense. But He knew what I'm going to do. He died for it. He paid for it. And that, my friend, is grace. Remember I told this person about religion and Christianity. I said, God loves you. A, B, C of salvation. I said, number one, you must admit you're a sinner. What is admit in Tagalog? Aminin. Also A. Aminin mo. Ikaw ay makasalanan. Aminin mo. You admit you cannot save yourself. B. You must believe He loves you. You must believe He died on the cross for your sins. C. You call on Him. I said, are you willing to call on Jesus to be your Savior? Are you willing to call on Jesus to become your Savior enter your heart? I praise God. This person said, yes. Now, 2 days ago, I witnessed to another person. And when I was telling this person about the good news of Jesus, this person began to cry. I said, why are you crying? She never understood the grace of God. You see, folks, people are hungry. But they will never come to Jesus until they realize they are sinners. And that's why the law is crucial. You got to teach people the law of God unchanging. The standards have not changed. Until you are convicted, I'm a sinner. I'm not a mistaker. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Then only Jesus can save me. That's what this verse is saying. Now that you are under grace, let's read this together now. Everybody read. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. What's that one word? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now let me ask you, which is higher standard? The law or the principle of love? Which is higher standard? Friends, you combine the two. The law has not changed, but you cannot obey the law if you are not able to love God with all your heart and to love each other. And that love comes, everybody read this together, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. A true, genuine follower of Jesus, a genuine Christ-like follower, loves Jesus. Why does he love Jesus? Because his sins have been paid for by Jesus. Everything about salvation is from Jesus. You become grateful. You now say, Lord, I love you. Friends, it does something to you. I have a friend who was a drug addict, a drunkard, womanizer. He met Jesus. When he met Jesus, something happened. His life was changed. He went to his boss. He worked in sporting goods. He told the boss, I have been stealing your product. I steal the gloves. I steal the bat. I steal the nice shirt. I've been stealing. And I computed the amount of money I've stolen. It's a lot of money. He said, but now I'm a Christian. I ask you to forgive me. And I'll pay you back. You know what the boss says? The boss says, thank you for admitting to me, but you know our company policy. I cannot hire you anymore. You have to go. He said, I understand, but I promise to pay you back. You know what my friend did? He worked and paid back every single cent. You know why? Once you have Christ in your heart and you love him, you want to please him. And that, my friend, is a true follower of Jesus. Hindi pangpakitang tao. Your behavior is not to impress people. You come to CCF not to impress people. You come because you love Jesus. You come to worship because you love Jesus. But you are not here to impress people. You join a small group because you know you need people. It's progressive. Can I tell you my Christian life? It's progressive. We don't teach perfection. But we are progressing. Because I love the Lord, I want to please him. Now, many of you know how I am when it comes to money. What do I mean? You see, I am an Ilocano, plus a Jew, and a Chinese. So when it comes to money, I am tight. So I remember years ago, when we went to restaurants, and I was already a Christian, believe it or not. I have many kids. So when we go to buffet, I'm already confessing to you, okay? I'm confessing to you. When we go to buffet, not everybody, the small kids, will order. You know why? Because I wanted to save money. And you know what they will do? They will eat from my buffet. They'll eat from my wife's buffet. But because the Lord is in our hearts, we got convicted. I got so convicted, I told my wife, no, that's okay. Even their kids, you know, my kids can eat like adults. Now, years ago, my wife would be attending business meeting with me. And she would hear me talk. And after the meeting, she would say, "Honey, I notice you're exaggerating." She was very polite. "You're exaggerating. Do you know another word for exaggerating? You're lying." And I thought about it. I said, "Man, I got convicted." I said, "Honey, you are correct. Exaggerating is lying. But by the grace of God, He has transformed me." You see, a genuine follower of Jesus is not about perfection. It's authenticity. It's one thing to please God. And that's why I advise you guys, be part of an accountability group so that when people point out to you your mistake or your sin, you don't call sin mistake, mistake, mistake. "I have sinned." Once you say you have sinned, you are able to improve. You know why? You now need a Savior. And who is our Savior? Jesus. Do you have a Savior?
Yes.
You will not have a Savior until you admit you're a sinner. You know, God opened my eyes. You know, my eyes were opened. I began to see the grace of God. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." My attitude about the law, about the Word of God has changed. What a blessing. Because I love the Lord and He loves me, His laws. The law of God is perfect. Restoring the soul. It will rejuvenate you. The Lord, the Word of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never seen a disobedient Christian to be joyful. Do you know that if you don't obey the Lord, you forfeit the joy that is yours? I don't know of any real Christian who is not obedient and yet is able to say, "I'm joyful." The law of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It gives me joy when I follow the Lord. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know what happened? Look at what it says. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter than honey and the drippings of honeycomb. Is that your attitude toward the commandments of God? I pray that you will love the Scripture. I love the Word of God. It says they are more desirable than gold. They are much better than fine gold, sweeter than honey. You know why? It transformed my life. It gives me joy. I do not want to lose my intimacy with the Lord. You know why? Money cannot buy that. And the Bible tells us, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." I asked permission from my friend who went with us to the Holy Land. Would you believe it? In that Holy Land trip, he met Jesus. He met the Lord firsthand. And he told us months later, I just learned about this months later. He said, "Peter, do you know what I did in Holy Land?" I said, "No." He said, "I made a long distance call." I said, "Where?" "To the Philippines." I said, "What happened?" He said, "I will tell you my story. I'm a man who is full of anger, full of bitterness. Somebody took advantage of our family, and I hired somebody to kill the person." And I said, "How much did you pay?" "It's a big amount. It is more than 7 figures. First class hitman." He said, "Peter, I'm full of bitterness, I'm full of anger. But after meeting the Lord, I called long distance. I told the man, cancel the instruction. Do not proceed." The man says, "You know the deal. No refund." He says, "I don't care about the money. I just want to do what is right." He forgave the man from his heart because the law of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit will transform your lives and your heart. And there are many of you today, you don't have peace, you don't have joy, because you have never encountered, you are not a real, genuine follower of Jesus yet. Because what you have is religion. Religion cannot save you. What you need to do is A, admit I'm a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ is the only solution to my sin problem. That through Him, you have eternal life. Are you willing to believe that through Jesus, your sins are all forgiven? And then, by grace, you want to please Him. You know why? Because the Bible tells us He gives you the Holy Spirit. And when He gives you the Holy Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We are now empowered by the Spirit of Christ. So the Christian life is impossible, but with the Holy Spirit, it becomes possible. A genuine follower of Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Dear brothers, do you want the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Be a genuine follower of Jesus. A, admit you're a sinner. You need a Savior. What is B? Believe that He alone can take care of your sin problem. He's your Savior. What do you do with C? You call upon Him. He comes into your heart and you are changed. And I love this verse from the Old Testament. I will give you a new heart and I'll give you a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You know, many years ago, Jesus did something in my heart. He removed the heart of stone. He gave me a new heart. A heart of flesh. And more than that, the Bible said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Today, I stand before you, a product of God's grace, not my own righteousness, but the Holy Spirit has come into my heart, and He has caused me to want to follow Him. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. But does it mean I want to follow Him? Yes. Friends, are you a genuine follower of Jesus? Are you a genuine Christ follower? Today, there are two kinds of people in this room. Genuine follower of Jesus, counterfeit follower of Jesus. Two kinds of people, two eternal destiny. You got to make your choice. Let's bow our heads. If God has spoken to you and you want to choose to be a true follower, but you feel you cannot do it on your own, but you are willing to ask Jesus to really change you, commit to follow Him, you want to be a genuine follower, raise your hands. Today I will pray for you. In fact, I want you to not just raise your hands, stand up. You say, I want to be a true follower of Jesus. Because whatever you do today is going to impact your eternity. Some of you have been here, but you are not a genuine follower. All you have is religion. My friend, you need to be serious with the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a genuine follower. I don't want to be a fake. Will you come into my life? Will you change me? Friends, this is between you and Jesus. Don't be like the Pharisees. For show, to impress people. You are not going to impress Jesus. He knows your heart. True righteousness is all about the heart. Bow your heads and pray this prayer with me, a prayer that will really ask the Lord to touch your heart, to change you from the inside out. Not a counterfeit follower of Jesus. All for show. All to impress people. I don't want you to impress people. I want you to please God from your heart. And pray this prayer with me. Something like this. By the way, before I pray, anybody else? Don't fight the Lord. If you need to surrender, you surrender now. Stand up. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a counterfeit. I'm not just a mistaker, I am a sinner. I now understand a true follower of Jesus is going to be serious in terms of pleasing you, following you. Will you, Jesus, come into my heart? Change my heart. Give me a new desire. Help me to delight to do your will. Not out of duty, but out of love. To know that in obeying your commandments, there are tremendous blessings. Because you love me, Jesus. Open my eyes. Change my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. I call upon you today to be my Savior and my Master. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.